Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There, Paddy Stanacki.
Woof. Richard Stanichard is the guy's name, I think you'll find.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. You know, Easter's coming. You'll be excited about Easter now. By the time I get around to editing this, it'll probably be like midsummer. Not midsummer.
Is not midsummer.
We already did that one.
We have indeed. Is Easter a celebration that you enjoy?
Yeah, yeah. As someone, you know, from a Catholic background, with now it's very, very important to us, and we take it very, very seriously. The whole chocolate thing is massive, you know. How else can we celebrate our Lord other than by, you know, eating so much chocolate that we want to pass out, getting sort of vaguely close to how he must have felt in the 3 days in which he was dead but not dead? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what he did in those 3 days. He just lay hundreds and hundreds of chocolate eggs.
I'm just looking over my shoulder to check my wife's not, she's not behind me, because I'm in the conservatory now. So when I record downstairs, she's like on the other side of the glass door and she can sort of hear me. So I might speak a bit quietly about this part.
I swear, for some reason, my sleep deprived brain thought when you said cons there that you were going to say, because I'm in the conservative party now.
Because I'm in the conservative party now. Have I not told you this?
It's been a very big change. Do you reckon the next leader of the Conservative Party is going to be Ricky Stanicky, or a Ricky Stanicky type that no one ever turns up to Prime Minister's questions, and then Penny Mordaunt stands up and says, well, we've announced this policy. It's not us, it's Ricky Stanicky who's chosen it.
You know what? That's actually not a bad concept for a film, is it? Where, like, there's a sort of joke conservative backbencher that nobody's ever actually seen, that they just, like, blame everything on. And then that also, like, they get rumbled by the public, but then they get a guy to stand up and be the MP for some backwater that nobody's heard of, and it's a sort of big exercise in fake news. I actually would watch that.
Who then does end up becoming leader of the party.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be quite good fun.
But then who's the Brit? There's no British equivalent of John Cena, is there? Like, that
excuse
that
me,
part would need
British
some work.
Bulldog.
You mean Ricky Gervais dressed up as Winston Churchill giving...
You do not have your wrestling knowledge, do you? Davey Boy Smith? You don't know Davey Boy Smith? R.I.P. Davey Boy Smith.
You're just talking about guys. You're mentioning guys with nicknames from, like, your sixth form college or something. Like, you just... These are just guys.
Davey Boy Smith, British Bulldog, right, was the British wrestler in WWF.
There was a British wrestler in WWF.
There often is a British wrestler at some point.
This is news to me. This is huge. This is mind-blowing. There needs to be a film about this. A fish out of water type thing. There's so many film ideas already. We're like 2 minutes
in. He won three WWF championships.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm very happy
I don't think he ever became world champion of a WWF, but he won, like, some of their other minor championships.
Right. What was his era?
So he started in the 80s through to the 90s, I believe.
Right, okay. So again, this is another thing where I'm sure, like, my parents wouldn't have shown me wrestling in the 90s, but your parents were probably like, yeah, here, watch these men, like, fake fight each other.
I don't think it was them showing me. I think it was them just being like, what's on TV? Who cares?
Wrestling. Yeah, fine. Whatever.
So there was a tag team called the British Bulldogs.
Okay.
And then there was him, the British Bulldog, as far as I'm aware.
And you've got to feel sorry for the other guy.
Well, should have had a better name than Davey Boy Smith then, shouldn't he?
Oh, wait. Davey Boy Smith is the other guy.
No. Davey Boy Smith is the British Bulldog.
But who's the other guy in the tag team?
I don't know. Dynamite Kid.
Okay. That's not too bad.
Thomas Wilton Billington. Best known by the ring name The Dynamite Kid. The British Bulldogs, but most famously The British Bulldog. Let me get you a photo of the British Bulldog.
Okay, but has he transitioned into acting in a surprisingly competent manner?
Unfortunately, he never had the chance because he passed away.
Oh, okay. From a wrestling related thing.
No. He. I think it was a heart attack or something. How do I get chat up in this stupid thing? Hold on, there we go.
Bottom right, chat with. There's a thing that says chat with everyone. Chat with the entire world.
Can I not paste a picture in? Do I have to?
You're gonna have to send me a link.
I'm gonna have to send you a link. This is rubbish. This is fascinating audio content for everybody.
How to use Google Meet. That's what you want for your podcast.
So there's the British Bulldogs. We're the British Bulldog. We're an amazing sequined Union Jack outfit.
I'm going to make this the album art for this episode, just like inexplicably. I'm going to be like, is that from the film Ricky Stenicki? No.
That's exactly what it is. He was, of course, though. He was in...
So is he the one on the right or the one on the left?
So he is... Hold on, let me get the...
Because I feel like the one on the left is potentially a distant cousin of Martin Sheen, looking at that face.
Well, when they make the British Bulldogs movie, Martin Sheen gets CGI'd into someone with muscles.
Yeah, no offence to Martin Sheen. You're not like a muscular wrestling tank.
He does not have the physique of the British Bulldog. Yeah, no, Davey Boy Smith is the one holding the leash to the actual Bulldog.
Yeah, yeah, the one who looks like a darts player.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Although he did also have like braided cornrows for a while. That's another thing that I remember of the British Bulldog. So although a lot of the time he had like that long luxurious hair, which is what every wrestler should have, quite frankly. Sorry, yeah. John Cena, but
what gonna you, have what to mark like. You down for that.
But yeah, the wrestlers should have long luxurious hair. But then I think he also did have cornrows for a bit.
You just wanted to be in a new metal band, I'm sure.
But yeah, unfortunately, yeah, I don't think Davey Boy Smith ever had the opportunity to be an actor. But John Cena isn't a bad actor.
No.
Actually, I quite like him. I think he's... Did you ever see The Suicide Squad?
No, I haven't seen any films with either of those words in the title.
You've never seen... I'm trying to think of other movies with the word squad in the title now. Because have you ever seen The Virgin Suicides?
No, that's based
John
on
Cena
a book,
is amazing right. in that.
Right.
John Cena, he's had a good acting career so far. Like he got started doing the sort of action movie stuff like The Marine.
Right.
12 Rounds. But then he did, yeah, he started doing some other bits and pieces like Trainwreck, if you remember Trainwreck.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Did you not watch Trainwreck?
No, we floated it as something to talk about. Yeah, we talked about watching it, but we never got around to it.
And then he did... He's done lots of interesting stuff, lots of silly comedies. He was in the awful Bumblebee movie.
Oh, no.
But then... Yeah, he did Suicide Squad, not the first Suicide Squad, which was rubbish, but the Suicide Squad, which is the good one.
The Batman, the Jokers.
He's turned up in the Fast and Furious franchise, aka the greatest movie franchise of all time.
That does not surprise me.
He voices Rocksteady in the most recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
I heard that was good.
Yeah, I heard it's good. It inexplicably has a Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross score as well.
Yeah, that's great.
It is great. I've heard it's fantastic. The animation style looks incredible. Genuinely looks amazing. I do want to watch it because... Did you used to like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, yeah.
Or as we knew them, the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
I know. Because no one in the UK would know what a ninja was.
I think it's more the violence implied, wasn't it?
The violent connotations of the word ninja.
Yeah, so they changed it to hero. Right. Any Americans listening?
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Yeah, we didn't have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the UK initially. They were called Hero Turtles.
They weren't ninjas. It's one of those stupid things where, like, did they actually like change any of the content as well, or did they just change the name? And they're like, well, the violence is fine as long as it's in the episode, but don't call it that.
the violence is fine, as long as they say they're heroes instead of ninjas.
Yeah, as long as it's all.
And they're not even that violent, because aren't like the foot soldier people robots in the TV series?
I can't remember.
It's been a long time since I've watched it, but I swear they are.
There's definitely much worse stuff around then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah,
like Transformers and He-Man and any of that nonsense that they made to sell toys.
Yeah, Transformers, famously about robot genocide.
Yeah,
actually, when you and then
some quite
and
dark
then, yeah,
themes there. Yeah.
Very dark themes in Transformers. It's incredibly, yeah. There's lots of, if you ever look into Transformers lore, there is a lot of weird shit going on behind the scenes in Transformers.
For That's no way to talk about Shia LaBeouf.
For something that only exists to sell toys. There's a lot of complex dark stuff going on,
and that's the other thing as well. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came from an indie comic, so it wasn't made to sell toys.
It was made to sell toys, but its starting point was pure.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were great. I loved that TV series.
I think I had a couple of their action figures as well.
Yeah, I had their little truck. I remember I found that at a jumble sale. And was like, oh my god, this thing's amazing. And my parents wouldn't buy it for me new. But then, yeah, at a jumble sale, someone was selling it and it like had a broken wheel or something. And I was just like, oh my god.
That must have been the greatest day of your life.
It was, because then I had my turtles and then they had their truck.
That's incredible.
Driving around everywhere.
So yeah, John Cena also played Dad Figglehorn in Fred the Movie.
Is Fred the Movie?
I don't know. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page and I still don't feel like I have an answer to that question. Not to be confused with Fred, 2014 film.
Fred Claus,
which we have talked about.
Fred the Movie.
Oh,
this kid looks familiar. He's an irritating internet man.
It's a YouTube. It's like they've made a movie out of his stupid YouTube thing. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
The film was unanimously panned by critics and has a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. We need to watch this.
An average rating of 2.46. Do we really need to watch this?
No, we don't. Hang on. Music by Roddy Bottom. Are you kidding me? We definitely have to watch it. Roddy Bottom, if you don't know, is the bassist in Faith No More. keyboardist, sorry.
My God, incredible. Okay, yeah, maybe we need to have a YouTube month.
Oh no, that would be even worse than the Rob Schneider month.
We watched Fred the Movie.
Imagine?
We watch. Who are the? Didn't Logan Paul make a movie?
Yeah, probably Logan Paul and KSI probably did something, or the Sidemen, or yeah.
And we could finish it off with the Slender Man movie.
Like, that might actually be okay.
No, apparently it's awful.
Okay,
but wait, hold on. Logan Paul clearly has done multiple movies.
Oh no. He's one of the worst people on earth, by the way.
Genuinely. Okay, hold on. I'm on Logan Paul. Oh, the problem is that all of his stupid YouTube shit is on IMDb now.
Oh, no.
There should be a filter, right, where it's acting in real stuff or acting in internet stuff. Because I'm sorry, I'm sure there's lots of people on here who make material for YouTube. It's not the same as a TV show, mate. Sorry. Apologies.
The only thing you should be watching on YouTube is half an hour lo-fi remixes of Castlevania Symphony of the Night. That's the only reason that YouTube should exist.
That is exactly right.
I may have just released a new one, so yeah.
Okay, so we could actually even do a Logan Paul month if you wanted.
Oh god, that is like
I don't want to do that.
I didn't think anything could be worse than a Rob Schneider month, but that is like somehow 1,000 times worse. That genuinely would be torture.
So there was an original YouTube movie. Do you remember YouTube Red, where they tried to make original content?
Oh, no. Unfortunately, I do.
In a future, overcrowded, dystopian society, students with the lowest test scores are culled. Two students discover errors with the test. Starring Logan Paul as Blake Redding and some other people.
That sounds like a sort of like really, 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 really bad Hunger Games ripoff, of which there are many. But
and then they made a sequel, The Thinning, New World Order.
The Thinning. That's about my hair. Get it? We're old.
Oh, old man.
Old no, man, my hair's doing just fine, actually.
It is. You have luscious locks.
I do. No, there's some greys coming in, but I'm okay with that. So, yeah, let's not torture ourselves by doing a YouTube month. But, yeah, John Cena played his dad in Fred the Movie, which looks really bad.
But he is in a movie, I think he must have a minor role because he doesn't appear at the top, called Valley Girl.
Valley Girl. That sounds familiar.
A musical adaptation of the 1983 film.
He's in a musical?
Apparently. I don't see, he must have a cameo or something because I'm looking through. Oh yeah, no, he's only sixth listed.
Okay.
On this.
Hang on, Nicolas Cage is in the original. This is about a girl dating punk Nicolas Cage. This looks incredible. I've never seen this before.
Maybe we should watch it and then
we should definitely watch this
remake.
Yeah. And then torture ourselves by watching the remake of Mean Girls.
Oh, look at young Nicolas Cage. He looks so young.
He looks incredible. I love this poster. That's an incredible poster.
That is an excellent, excellent poster. Anyway, right, let's get back on track because we've talked about Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And that's already taken
several years. It was really unfortunate. So, like, John Cena seems to be going up in the world, I would say, in terms of, like, he's had some good movie roles in the past, but now he's got, like, quite a few things where he's prominent. Like, I think this film wants to tell Zac Efron's story, but really it's telling John Cena's story, and I'm okay with that, right? And he's also in a film called Argyle, which looks not really my thing, if you know what I mean. It's like one of those sort of knowing spy films, and I'm not really into that, but apparently he's very good in that as well.
You don't like to know things.
No, I hate knowing things. Knowledge is rubbish.
So Argyle is by, it's a Henry Cavill movie.
Yeah.
And it's by the guy who did Kick-Ass and Kingsman, and when they did the X-Men reboot set in like the 60s, he did the first one of them.
Yeah, I've not seen any of those, and yeah, do you know, that's exactly what I mean when I talk about kind of knowing spy films with Kingsman. I've never seen any of them, but having seen like trailers or even just like the posters, I can just tell the sort of smug tone of it is going to put me off, and I'm probably wrong. You know, when you have that idea about something. But
the first Kingsman is okay. I think as a fan of stupid action movies and Austin Powers.
And I did love Austin Powers.
I think you'd probably, because it is kind of like, it feels like a jokey Roger Moore era Bond movie.
Right, but the look of it and the aesthetic of it and everything I've seen of it looks like it doesn't have enough goof factor to be something like Austin Powers. You know, if you're going to do something like that and you're going to try and impress me, you need to have major goof factor, or otherwise that don't impress me much.
To quote great philosopher of our time, Shania Twain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a parody like Austin Powers, but it's like it's quite knowing about spy movie tropes. So this kid from some kind of deprived area gets brought into this training program for posh spies, and all the other spies are posh and he's not.
Right,
basically.
Okay.
And then he saves the world. And I've not seen any of... I think there's three Kingsman movies. I've not seen either of the others. But the first one's a fun little movie. It's Taron Egerton.
Yeah, and I like him.
He of old Rocket Man.
Oh, that was a great film.
And also Eddie the Eagle, and also the Tetris movie.
I know. I kind of want to see that.
Which, the problem is that apparently it's not very good. Like, it's a bit boring.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because actually the creation of Tetris is a fascinating story in real life.
It is, yeah. Have you read the graphic novel about it?
No, I've not.
I've got it. I should give it to you. It's really good.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
And I want to see Eddie the Eagle as well, because that's a great story. Yes, and also because my maths teacher at school looked like Eddie the Eagle, and we always used to call him that, and he used to annoy him a lot.
Excellent. Yeah, I might watch Argyle, because I think Henry Cavill makes a good spy.
Yeah, But what the point I'm trying to make is that I think John Cena's going up, and it's probably only up from here. And I think he's very, very good in this, and he really, really carries the film, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, this movie is a slog apart from John Cena.
Yeah.
When you first sold this to me, I thought it was some kind of Tulpa situation where their continued lies had manifested this friend who they made up. And so when it turned out that instead it's a fabrication and then they have to hire someone to be him, I was really disappointed. And I was just expecting him to sort of like appear like the Terminator in a ball of light and be like, I am Ricky Stenicki. But so initially when that kind of thing happened, I was like, oh no, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. But then John Cena turns up and is just incredible from the word go. And this movie, I couldn't tell whether I really hated it or had a real admiration for it.
Yeah.
And I think the sheer quality of John Cena's performance in it pushes me into actually enjoying this film. Because there are some genuine laugh out loud moments. A lot of it is bad.
Yeah.
But there are some genuinely very, very funny moments in this film.
You texted me, I think, saying like, I can't work out if I like this film or not, or something along those lines. And then that's the point at which you have to admit that there's no difference between good and bad things, as the wise man bowed his head and said. But yeah, I think you're right. It walks that line, and I feel like it knows that it's walking that line, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is a stupid movie. This is a Peter Farrelly movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what do you expect?
And it is not highbrow in the slightest. It is incredibly silly all the way through. But it has these weird moments of heart where you're just like, oh, okay. So that's happening now. And then it has these very, very funny, silly moments where you're like, ah, oh, there is some quality here.
And those are the best moments, aren't they, by far?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the scene where Ricky Stenicki turns up at the Briss wearing that entire white linen suit is one of the best things I've seen in a while. Genuinely incredibly funny because, I mean, it has that kind of... my brain is completely gone because I'm running on about 3 hours sleep.
I can sympathize.
What's the term for it where the audience knows something?
Dramatic irony.
Dramatic irony, thank you.
Yeah, I would say that this film is a masterclass in dramatic irony.
It genuinely is, because the entire movie is made up of most of the people in it not knowing that Ricky Stenicki is made up.
You wouldn't think, like, a film in which John Cena, like, is a guy who runs a show in which people pay to have dogs have sex in Atlantic City, and a film in which a rabbi gets into a K-hole would be a masterclass in dramatic irony. But it is.
It genuinely is. There's so many excellent moments where they play with the audience expectation of what's going to happen based on their knowledge that Ricky Stenicki is not real versus the sort of actual character interactions. It's genuinely very clever in the way that it plays with dramatic irony. And yeah, it does lead to some incredibly funny moments, which I was not expecting. But it's genuinely pretty funny.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. You're watching it, you're going, I don't want to like this, but I do. Which I think is kind of a strange position to be in. Well, no, I didn't go into it thinking it was going to be bad. I actually went into it thinking this is going to be funny and enjoyable. And it was. But, like, there was a bit of a point where it's a bit icky in parts, isn't it? I mean, that's not just because it's called Ricky Stenicki, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, there's some... there's some sort of seedy 90s comedy moments, I guess,
yeah,
is the best way to describe it.
And there's some quite bawdy humour, isn't there? There's some gross-out stuff, some quite sort of nasty gags. But what I have to applaud is that it sets up some nasty gags and then it goes through with them. So rather than just having like a throwaway line about something disgusting, like the dog show is one thing, right? It's kind of mentioned early on in the film, and then they call back to it like an hour and a half later, and you're like, wow, I did not expect that to be the payoff.
But yeah, there are some moments like that. I don't remember it ever going into like bigotry territory, which is good for a Peter Farrelly movie.
I don't think there's anything in it that's like genuinely offensive or distasteful. Yeah. It's just a bit a bit nasty in parts, isn't it? A bit sort of crude.
There's lots of pee and poo.
Sophomoric and is vomit. The word you'd use.
Yeah. There's lots of that.
He's wet himself because he's like, because of the alcohol withdrawal. And then he goes, oh, don't worry about that. It's just piss.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of lines like that where it's like kind of a throwaway thing. And you're like, actually, that is funny in context.
And that's the thing, isn't it? There are those moments where it genuinely is funny and it handles that crass humor well. Where did you learn to circumcise? Oh, I had a job peeling shrimp at Beefsteak Charlie's, for instance. It's just like, dear God. But yeah, those kind of moments do work pretty well. And it's carried by John Cena basically being this chaos demon who just appears in this movie where you're never quite sure what direction it's going to go in. But then reaching these moments of weird earnestness here and there, which is not reciprocated. And I think that lack of reciprocation is also an element of the comedy that works, that actually this guy who runs a show in Atlantic City about jizzing, but through various like cover versions of famous songs.
Yeah. And again, they talk about that. And then like half an hour later, they actually show him doing the show. And you're like, okay, I thought that was just like a throwaway gag. But, you know, they actually went and wrote that into the script.
Yeah, they show it multiple times as well. So you get multiple shots of John Cena, you know, dressed as Alice Cooper or Devo.
Yeah.
Or Britney Spears is the other one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's what, on the poster.
Oh, is that on the poster, is it?
Yeah, he's dressed as Britney Spears on the poster.
But yes, so there's all of those little moments here and there where you're like, okay. Yeah, there's some chaotic energy here, but this character is actually the earnest one. And what you kind of expect going into this is that he's going to try and blackmail them or something like that, and he's going to be the bad guy. But in reality, they're the people who have been lying about this for years to get out of doing stuff. They're the villains of this piece. He's simply there who's someone who's doing a job.
I actually think it toys with your expectation of him being the bad guy really well.
Yeah,
and that is actually what manages to bring the emotional heart at the end, because it's sort of vaguely hinted at that he's like done some bad stuff or like some gangster guys are after him. And then, they keep showing these gangster guys like following him, just peppered in just enough throughout the film to sort of remind you, oh, you think he's a nice guy? Oh, no, he's not. He's clearly done some bad stuff. And then at the end, what is it? They turn up. It's a cease and desist letter from Billy Idol, and they're British. Yeah, that's very funny.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then his reaction is, so Billy Idol's heard my song?
Yeah.
It's great. And so, there's all of those moments, or equally when, you know, you also get the sense that he takes on the name Ricky Stanicky officially and starts working at the company.
Yeah.
And
which would definitely happen. They don't do like proper background checks or anything.
I don't know how they do things in America. You never know. You might be able to just walk in. But then like at that point, again, you think, oh, is he now going to screw them over and get them fired and take their jobs? Is it going to go down that route? And in the hands of actually a less creative and less interesting film, that's the route it would take then.
But Michael Bay's Ricky Stanicky.
Michael Bay's Ricky Stanicky.
Yeah, he gets into the office, pulls out two guns.
Yeah, exactly. But then,
and it's again, it plays with expectation really well, because you also know that he's broke and he really needs the money. So why wouldn't he try and just take all the money he can from that job and run? But he doesn't.
But instead, and that's the thing. Instead, he is going into it earnestly to get himself a new life. There's never any intention with him to undermine the people who have hired him. And so again, it comes around to when they then try to undermine him, that actually they are the manipulators. They're the bad guys. And I really like the way that they did that, because actually, like I said, there's a traditional route this movie could have gone down, and it would have been a lot more boring and a lot less fun and a lot more mean. But instead, actually, it does do things in quite an interesting way. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. And he becomes the big hero at the end, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what that then highlights is the fact that like Zac Efron is kind of okay. He's fine. He's there. His other kind of two friends are just a bit irritating and useless, aren't they? Like, you probably could have removed them and there wouldn't have been any problem, really. with that.
Yeah, I think the big problem is that you couldn't have Ricky Stenicki as a concept working if it was just a single person.
Yeah, yeah. I think you need them there for plot purposes, but the characters themselves I didn't find really added much. Apart from, I thought Jermaine Fowler was a great performance, and like, there's the whole thing where like Ricky encourages him to pursue his art and he ends up becoming an illustrator of like a sexy gay Santa book, which is quite funny.
Yes, yeah. And that's the thing, is that there maybe just isn't enough. There's not enough there for them to do. And so I could think about Horrible Bosses, for instance, which is a movie that does give the triforce of friends, as I suppose, the friendship trio. They all have different personalities and different ways that they react. It's an all right film. It's pretty good. And in that, yeah, they do have these different roles. Whereas here, I mean, Zac Efron and ginger-haired white man, they're basically the same person.
Yeah, yeah. There's not enough depth to either of them, really, is there?
Yeah, and I think that's the problem.
Leveling that criticism at a Peter Farrelly film isn't necessarily fair. But at this point, he has made his serious film. So, like, you know, I think we can apply that to his work now, can't we?
What are you talking about? This is his serious film.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Oh, right.
No, I mean Green Book. I've not seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah. No, I heard that the family of the guy involved weren't happy with Green Book, so I didn't.
Yeah, and I'm never going to watch it, but it's the one he did where it's about the bad racism and stuff, and it won some Oscars. So,
yes, yeah. But yeah, like, what was I going to say? My brain is absolutely, absolutely gone, I'm afraid. But yeah, no. Yeah, I think you're right that the characters aren't different enough. But also, to be fair to Peter Farrelly, he has developed movies in the past which do have... You won't hear me saying, to be fair to Peter Farrelly, that often, by the way. but you look at his previous movies, and actually some of them do have that variety of character. So Dumb and Dumber, there's something about Mary. You know.
And again, those first three, Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, and there's something about Mary. I think Kingpin is the best of those three. That has the similar kind of level of heart to this, I'd say.
I've not watched Kingpin.
Oh, we should watch it.
In years and years and years. We really should. He directed Osmosis Jones? What?
Yeah. Well, these are the Farrelly brothers, you remember. So Green Book, Ricky Stenicki, and unfortunately Movie 43, which we'll never watch. Obviously. Those are solo works. Something called The Greatest Beer Run Ever.
Movie 43 was the big scam, wasn't it? Where they somehow managed to get all of these people in to do tiny, tiny sketches.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So that's the joke.
As opposed to it being a proper movie.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The Greatest Beer Run Ever. Oh, that's also Zac Efron. Zac Efron and Russell Crowe?
That actually looks like a good thing. That's a cool poster.
A man's story of leaving New York to bring beer to his childhood buddies in the army while they're fighting in Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
He's interested now. I thought it was going to be, looking at a picture of two people in a car, and it's Russell Crowe and Zac Efron, I'm thinking, buddy road trip movie?
Yeah, that's the buddy road trip movie we need. Russell Crowe still hasn't atoned for a good year for me, so he had his chance to do that, and he blew it.
Oh dear, how dare he, how dare he.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you look at those movies that he has made, and some of them do have well-defined characters regardless of what you think about the quality of the movie as a whole. But yeah, in this one there is that little bit of a slippage of people not quite being not being different enough for it to really be warranted that there's that many, and you could have made them slightly more different. You know, and I think that's probably the route that you'd need to go down. I don't know how much of that is to do with the fact that this had an unbelievably troubled development cycle.
Yeah.
So Ricky Stenicki was actually announced back in 2010.
Blimey.
For 14 years ago, James Franco was going to be Ricky Stenicki.
Oh.
Then he had to drop out. Joaquin Phoenix was then hired.
Come on.
To be Ricky Stenicki. And then he dropped out. Jim Carrey was then hired.
I could see that.
there was a full year before production started. This was back in 2013. So he had to drop out. And then in 2015, the role went to Nicolas Cage.
What?
Yeah.
This is an outrageous history.
However, then the project was stopped. The financiers of the movie wanted more action elements to be added because it was going to be a Nicolas Cage movie, but obviously they wanted it to be a comedy. Nicolas Cage wanted it to be a comedy. And so eventually the project ground to a halt. Until then, Zac Efron and Amazon decided that they were going to take on the script and make it. And that's John Cena was involved.
Can you imagine the Nicolas Cage version where it's just like loads of shit blowing up and cars rolling over and stuff?
That would be Michael Bay's Ricky Stenicki, wouldn't it? But I could see Nicolas Cage in that role as the sort of both as the washed up Atlantic City performer and then being Ricky Stenicki. Like, I can just picture him in that scene at the Briss, for instance.
Yeah, definitely.
He would be amazing. Yeah, I could imagine that. I'd still quite like that to happen.
Yeah.
Can they have one where they have to make up Ricky Stenicki's dad and then John Cena's dad is Nicolas Cage? That would be amazing.
That would actually be incredible.
Okay, Amazon, Ricky Stenicki 2, make it happen.
Jeff Bezos, I know you listen every week. I like how there's a lot of the funny quips that John Cena has, and he's talking about, like, you know, getting into the role and playing the part, and he says, you know, that film We Bought a Zoo, Matt Damon actually bought a zoo before filming that film and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that really, yeah, I enjoyed that side of it as well.
Yeah, no, there's all sorts of really fun bits and pieces in it that actually does make it worth watching. I enjoyed this film a fair bit.
There's like a sad plot with Zac Efron, isn't there, where like he's got issues because his dad abused him and stuff, which is kind of a bit... It tries to add some emotional weight to it, but really, the real heart of it is actually the development of John Cena's character, isn't it? So that just felt a bit unnecessary and sort of bloated the running time a bit. But I could see why they tried to do it, to add just a bit more depth.
Yeah, they tried to put that in. I just think what they could have done is really played up like the class dynamics here of you've got a handful of people who are like fancy investment types. You could have played up that versus someone who's been doing the grind, the hustle in Atlantic City. I think they could have actually played that on that more instead of trying to make Zac Efron character more sympathetic through quite a vapid, generic little 5-second window, really.
Yeah.
So again, they didn't really add much to it at all.
No. But you also had William H. Macy.
Oh, William H. Macy's like, great in this. I haven't seen him in anything in a while. And I like William H. Macy.
He's great. And he brought a sort of a level of gravitas to this film that I think was not needed, but definitely worked.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's, he was a good choice for that character. He plays the boss character.
He's 74. Blimey.
He's been around a while as old William H. Macy.
He looks good on it.
Because Fargo was like mid-90s, remember?
Yeah.
And then he already looked pretty old.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because he's married to Felicity Huffman, which will always make me think of Felicity Huffman's Booty Academy in BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
But no, he's great. He's done a lot of really iconic roles and, again, played the boss character in this, which was perfect casting.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, did really good. Really good. What's happened with her, and didn't she spend some time in prison, Felicity Huffman?
I think so, yeah. It was like she paid someone to take her daughter's college entrance exam or something.
Yes, yeah, that's right. That's right, which would have been an amazing storyline in Desperate Housewives, ironically.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Anyway, anything you want to say about Richard Stenichard?
No, I think we've covered it. It's free on it's on Amazon Prime. If you subscribe to that, it's well worth watching. I think if you want a sort of quite bawdy, crude in parts, but actually quite enjoyable comedy with real heart and a great performance from John Cena. Yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah,
it's a fun Saturday night film, isn't it?
I agree. Shove it on. Turn off your brain. Enjoy John Cena.
Yeah. Don't think about Zac Efron.
Excellent. So how are we gonna rate Ricky Stenicki?
Let's see. Well, how many lies have you told to about a made-up person to cover up your misdemeanors to your family?
14 lies.
Yeah, 14 I'd say fake, the same.
14 Stenickis.
Yeah. And it's a good concept, isn't it? Like, that's the thing. You go into thinking this is actually a good concept and it's executed well enough, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not perfect, but it's decent enough for a comedy. It definitely does what it needs to do, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So up next, I was going to pick a good movie, but then you pointed out that there's also a very bad movie that's suddenly become available.
I've forgotten what it is. Because I'm also quite pleased that I remembered all of this stuff about Ricky Stenicki because it's been over 2 weeks ago since we watched it. Because we've just been too busy with life and stuff.
Fucking children.
Children. Imagine.
So yeah, I'll ask you, do you want to watch the bad movie or the good one?
I don't know. I can't remember what either of them are. So that's quite a good...
Yeah, it's a good choice for you then.
Let's do the bad one.
Right, I can't remember the name of the bad one, but it's the Irish one with Lindsay
Lohan. Oh, yeah, Irish Wish. Yeah, that's right. So I texted you the other day saying I watched it, but I actually got bored halfway through and went and did some other stuff. So I need to, I need to rewatch the second half, but the first half was atrocious.
Yeah, okay. And then up next time we can do the good one. Poor Things is now on the
show. Oh, yeah, that's right. Has been acclaimed, but I'm on kind of unsure about it.
Oh, you're unsure.
Well, as I mentioned before, I really enjoyed The Favourite. Wasn't super keen on The Lobster. I think there's episodes of us on both of those that you think about. So yeah. I'm kind of on the fence about that. And I think the concept is quite creepy. So it's but not in a good way. Not in like a creepy horror concept. Film way. But yeah. On the fence. And then after that, we can do Valley Girl with Nicolas Cage.
That's true.
We can cleanse our palate with some Nicolas Cage.
And then we do need to do a Roadhouse double bill, because I think the Roadhouse remake is now out, isn't it?
It is, because every time I turn on the TV, Jake Gyllenhaal's face is there staring at me.
It's there looking smug with his open shirt.
Yeah, but I've never seen the original, so...
We should watch the original and then watch the remake.
It's Swayze, isn't it?
Yeah, old Patters.
Yeah. All right, well, now we've planned out our entire year.
Exactly. So
you do a whole year, just keep putting off doing that Logan Paul month. You know it'll come around eventually.
When we're both 80, you'd be like, let's do Logan Paul month. And everyone, the five people listening are like, the fuck is Logan Paul? I am 20 years old. I do not know who Logan Paul is.
Yeah, and then it could be like, it's so sad Logan Paul died of Ligma. Who the hell is Logan Paul? That's what we're going to be doing when we're 80.
Oh dear.
And then, I very much look forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks a lot for listening. If you've watched Ricky Stenicki, I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't, then go and check it out. It's a fun little silly comedy. You can find us on Twitter at BigBoysDon'tPod. You can email us BigBoysDon'tCryPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to talk about Irish Wish.
Ireland Wish.
My dad texted me saying we should watch it. He said, you should watch that one, Irish Kiss. I'm like, I think that's something else. I can't even remember the name of it. It's so bad. But yeah, we'll be back. We'll talk about that.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's so sad Steve Jobs died of Ligma.
Who the hell is Steve Jobs?
Ligma balls.